Hi, my name is Samantha Hill, and I am the visionary founder of the Five Pillars to Financial Victory and a Higher Calling in Christ. I am a published author of the number one Amazon best-selling book, 12 Steps to a Higher Calling in Christ, Radical Detoxification, The Passover, as well as the Five Pillars to Financial Victory, Take Control of Your Life and Your Finances Today. Today, I want to talk about my purpose and my calling with a higher calling in Christ. And what I'm going to do is expound upon the chapter in the book, 12 Steps to a Higher Calling in Christ. And first, let me say this, that there are teachers for every level of awareness, because one can only teach from their level of awareness in that in which they know. Amen? And so, in there being different or various levels of awareness of the knowledge of Christ for believers as well as for non-believers, which is the call to salvation. So I'm saying that I have been called to uplift those that are ready to step to a higher calling in Christ, that are ready to pass over. For those that understand the world's facts but want to live governed by God's truth, led by the Holy Spirit, living from the realm of the supernatural, one in spirit, mind, which is our soul, the entire mind, the conscious state of mind, the subconscious state of mind, and the superconscious state of mind, and body, one with God the Father. For those that are willing to commit to the greater works of Christ Jesus, allowing him to fully express through them. And according to the book of John, chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So when we look closely at this scripture and everything for us, we are to be in unity and to be in oneness in Christ, as Christ, and through Christ. So if we go back to verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. We are in the same position of unity and oneness, again, as Christ. So right now, it is not I that doeth the work, it's the Father within that doeth the work. The words that I'm speaking unto you are not of myself, but of the Father within me. Why? Because when we yield and we surrender into the unity and oneness of the Spirit of the living God that dwells within, the Christ, the indwelling Christ, the Son of God that is within, and the power of the Holy Spirit that worketh within. Now we have made this transformation, this transfiguration from within. For the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of heaven is within. So in verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So I am in the Father. I yield and surrender unto the Father that is within me. And the same for you as a believer. You yield unto the Father that abideth within you, the Father that liveth within you, the Father that worketh through you. For greater is he that is within you. For your God is well able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you, the power that worketh through you. And then in verse number 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So when Jesus says that he has gone unto the Father in the fulfillment of the Trinity in the heavens, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The Father, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. But now, if I believe that he has been raised from the dead through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of I am, and all that God is, I am in this world. So the Spirit of the living God, the Father that is within me, the Word of God, Christ that is within me, the Son of God, the indwelling Christ within me, and the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit within me. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that is within me. So as I believe in the fullness of the Godhead that is within me, now I am able in this unity and position of oneness to do the same works, but even greater works, because we have the fulfillment of the Trinity in the heavens and in the earth. Glory be to God. And so because he has gone unto the Father, and now he has his position seated at the right hand of the Father upon the throne of grace. And now as we as believers through the power of the resurrection and our confession of faith and believing that he has been raised and now is alive within, we are seated in the heavens and in the earth. Glory, hallelujah. So I am here to preach, teach, and bring forth the now testament according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. So let's go and expound upon this scripture. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There was so much going on in those verses that you can actually miss it, or you can get stuck if you do not completely yield unto the divine presence, the guidance, and the revelation that the Holy Spirit bring forth. This is your initial positioning when they will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So when you go through this suffering of persecution, this is a once and for all experience. It should be, should I say, because we're living unto the supernatural. We're being transformed. We're being transfigured into Christ, translated into the kingdom. Amen. And we'll go deeper in this as we move along in throughout this platform. And but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured. So as long as we continue in truth, that we abide in truth, that we abide in righteousness, that we abide in the kingdom under this divine supernatural government, this protection, and us being a new creature. Amen. And from that a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. See, the mind of Christ is our true salvation. Because when I yield and surrender into the mind of Christ, immediately by faith, I am in unity and oneness with divine mind, with the omniscient, all-knowing mind of God, the mind of all good, the mind of perfection, the mind of wholeness, the mind of unity, the mind of oneness, the mind of peace, the mind of joy. Amen. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But remember, or you have to know that Jesus always spoke in parables, for the things are not to be hid from you, but for you. So you have to have revelation. You have to be able to see through the eyes of Christ. You have to yield unto the revelation of the light and illumination that the Holy Spirit brings to bear witness. He said that you search the scriptures looking for me, but the scripture is to bear witness of who I am in you, the Christ in you, the hope of glory that is already within you. Amen. So the word of God is life and spirit, for it does not change, but it brings forth wisdom and revelation for its time. So for this time, so when we go back in history and make reference to the things of the old or the things of during that time, even in life as we know it, it was for such a time as this. During that time, but now we have to live unto the fullness and unity and oneness with divine mind for such a time as this, here and now, right? For so in slavery, whatever anyone has done during that time, that was their divine assignment. So we get so stuck in the past and so stuck upon history that we can't live unto the now, that we can't hear what God is saying now, that we can't be led by the Holy Spirit now by the word of God. Amen. So in order to do a new thing in the earth, a new thing must be revealed and spoken according to the kingdom process. And the kingdom process is within spirit, within mind, within heart, within word, within confession. Amen. So according to the book of John, chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The book of John, chapter 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. And when we have life through the name of Jesus Christ, it's not set apart. Remember the power of the resurrection, the unity and the oneness of the Christ that is within. I am that is within. So when I speak in the name of Jesus, when I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, when I call those things that be not as though they were in the name of Jesus, when I bind and I loose in the name of Jesus, I am releasing in the name that has been given unto the whole family in heaven and earth, the name of Jesus Christ. Your kingdom authority, the power, the dominion and authority in your name. We have to own the name. We have to become one with the name of Jesus. We have to be in unity with the name of Jesus Christ. Because it's not I. It's not you. But it is he, I in he, and he in me. For we are one. And then we declare the unity and the oneness with the Father that is within. We're going to get more into this. We're going to really break it down. Amen. But here are three key points in the relation to the now that we must always keep in the forefront of our minds. One is that we are his beloved, as it is written in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And to a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And we also have been accepted in the beloved, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Number two, when it says that we are to serve his people and be as him. And now, even now, this book was published in 2015. We are now, as I make this recording, in 2018. Things are constantly moving. Revelation is constantly flowing. So even in this time, even getting beyond the position of serving, not just serving God, not just even being serving each other, we must yield and get back in the position of the power of the blessing. That we are the blessed of the Lord, that we are blessed to be a blessing unto another, that we are a conduit of supply, of the goodness, the glory, the mercy, the compassion, the love, the peace, the joy, the grace of God. Amen. So when we're in our capacity of being all that He is, now we move in this unity of love and peace and joy. So when we are embarking and partaking upon a committee, when we're doing things to advance the kingdom, our heart is pure, our mind is pure. So just take a look at Moses as a servant. And when he was told to speak to the rock and he hit the rock. Now let's look at Jesus, the Son of God. And going upon the cross for the crucifixion. No matter what, even though he may have had that fleshly moment, that carnal moment, his heart was still unto the will of God and the will of God only, no matter what. The Son of God is always in unity and oneness with God, with the Father. The servant, through freedom of choice, through free will, can either obey or disobey, can either be in alignment or not in alignment with the will of the Father, and yield unto a fleshly nature, a carnal nature. So we have to get out of this servant or serving mentality, even unto the Father, and yield to the fullness of all that I am, and even unto one another, that I am blessed to be a blessing unto you as you are blessed to be a blessing unto me. And I will expound on this more as we move forward in a higher calling in Christ. But let's look at not what a mighty God we serve. Let's look at what a mighty God we worship, what a mighty God we praise, what a mighty God we glorify, what a mighty God we love, what a mighty God in whom we express. And in number three, when Jesus makes reference to the parable of the sower of the seed and how many don't get a chance to take root, how many of the word of God, because the word of God is seed that is being sown during a service, during a sermon, that does not get a chance to take root. So in the parable, when Jesus talked about the seed being sown and it falling on stony ground and things of that nature. But let's look at this in the church. Let's look at this in Bible study. Let's look at this in gospel, television ministry. Here is what's happening today. The sermon is being preached. Sowing the word of God into the hearts that are listening. And in the midst of the seed being sown, they are the person who's given the deliverance of the word, the man of God or woman of God who's sowing the word of God, then take the listener's attention and take it and focus it on the adversary by referencing and acknowledging the adversary or Satan or the devil or evil. Why? So what I mean by acknowledging him and saying things like, I know that the devil is trembling now and what the church is going to do to him and how he shouldn't have let you come to service this morning. He shouldn't have let you come to service or the convention or the revival. What kind of foolishness is that? So you as the deliverer of the word, the sower of the word, you did not allow the word to take root because you took your mind off of God. This is allowing the adversary to steal the seed, the word of God that was just sown, by taking those that are listening, taking their mind off of God and directing it toward the adversary. God's word says, keep a single eye and keep your mind and your heart stayed on me. Therefore, it is the deliverer of the sermon of the word that is opening the door for the seed not to take root before the service is even over, before Bible study is even over, before the broadcast is even over. So I hope you truly understand what I'm saying here. Keep the adversary out of the church. Keep the adversary out of your sermon. Keep the adversary out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your mouth. Glory be to God. So if there is a specific topic being taught, then teach it. Otherwise, there is no need, none whatsoever, to make reference at all to anything or anything or anyone other than God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, all that is good. Amen? For I'm not asking you to be deep. I'm asking that you allow yourself to go deeper, that you dwell in the secret place according to Psalms 91, that you take that which is written into prayer and seek revelation and allow the Holy Spirit, our master teacher, our guide, our revealer unto all truth, to bear witness with your spirit to bring forth what is to come and the truth for the edifying of the body of Christ. And according to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. To God be the glory upon the word of truth, upon the revelation of truth. We must be in unity. We must be in oneness. We must keep a single eye upon truth. We must keep our mouth declaring the truth. We must always abide in Christ in acknowledging that we have the mind of Christ, that we have the indwelling Christ within, that we have the unity and oneness with the Father, with divine mind. And all that the Father is in the spirit of the living God, he said, be still and know that I am God, not God apart from you, but the spirit of the living God that abides within you. So when we present and acknowledge our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the spirit of the living God, the Father within, unto the indwelling Christ, the Son of God within, unto the Holy Spirit, the power of God that worketh within. So according to the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11, it says, behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You must hear the words of the Lord in declaring unity and oneness in all that I am. Not just in declaring unity and oneness as a nation, as a world, but in who I am, in all that I am, by the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us, we are what we are, in whom I am. I am what I am, says Paul. But in my unity, in my oneness through the ministry of reconciliation and going beyond deliverance and from transformation, be ye transformed, Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that which is good, that which is acceptable in the perfect will of God. The more you become in unity and oneness in this revelation of truth. Now, transfiguration. Being all that I am, all that God is, I am. I boldly and I confidently declare in the name of Jesus Christ, I am that I am, all that thy Father is, I am, and the Father and I are one. Unity, oneness, wholeness, righteousness, perfection unto the glory of God. So we are to be as earthly vessels, allowing God to do his mighty works in the earth, not with arrogance and ignorance, but with boldness and confidence. We must stop wondering what someone might think of us or who do we think we are, or if we have lost our minds. And yes, we have lost our minds and received the mind of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For the battle is already won. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. It is finished." Glory to God, it is finished. The battle is won. We declare victory. He says, "I'm not raising you up to be a cheerleader over the victory of Satan. The battle was won over 2,000 years ago. It's done. It's finished. I am raising you up to be an expressor of my truth, that by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony and testifying that all that I am, the finished works of Christ Jesus, my seed, Christ multiplied." We are the seed of Christ multiplying upon this earth to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue, to dominate, to take over with the goodness, the glory, the mercies, the grace, the compassion of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the glory of God, the all that God is, the light of God. Where there's light, there cannot be any darkness. So when you allow the light of God, the light of glory, the light of love, the light of peace, the light of joy to permeate your entire being to all ends of the earth, according to Matthew 24, verse 14, and allowing and preaching the gospel to all ends of the earth and to the world, that the fullness of God, the light of God, the glory of God is radiating like never before, fulfilling the earth with wholeness, with perfection, because our light and allowing the Lord to be magnified within us, that the Father may be glorified and manifest himself to all existence, to all ends of the earth, of this world. Our mandate, our true mandate, and bringing forth the heavens, the new heaven and the new earth, and abiding in the new Jerusalem. Amen. Glory to God. So be blessed to be a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.